Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, Crown Jewel, the pay-per-view happened, and I watched it. It was fine. But what happened was not so much what happened on the pay-per-view, what happened in the aftermath of the pay-per-view. And it kind of all started with, I think, a change in direction. With we'll start with that, and then we'll kind of work our way through the timeline of the pay-per-view, getting out of Saudi Arabia. We have a new name for the next Saudi pay-per-view. It's called No Way Out.
Good thing WWE owns the copyright to that.
We have what happened with the airplane flight. We have how that sparked some more changes in the company. So we're going to touch on all of that, and we're also going to do an AEW pay-per-view preview. They have their Full Gear show on Saturday night. We'll talk about that. And there's some other newsy nuggets that I have if we get to that. So let's start with Bray Wyatt. He's the new Universal Champion. I think the fans have wanted this. I think I have wanted it. And it's a good decision. I don't think this was the long-term plan for WWE. What says you?
Yeah, I think that the ship sailed, unfortunately. That chance was right there for the Hell in a Cell a few weeks ago. The ending was really bad. And it just seems like a desperate move here. And good for The Fiend. I think it's great for him to, you know, be at that level there as a champion. But here he is the night after when he's supposed to be on SmackDown. And again, out of his control, not being able to get back there because of air flight issues, your champion who wins the night before, not on the show, immediately after he wins. So that's where they drop the ball on the Hell in the Cell. And that's why you need to, you know, proclaim him, or should have proclaimed him, as your champion earlier. And now they absolutely didn't have a chance to identify him properly as the show champion for SmackDown. So I'm okay. I'm very happy that he's a champion, but I think WWE dropped the ball on this one, and I'll go back to it from a few weeks ago. So it's a desperate move, finally listening to the fans a little bit here.
So my question pertains to who beats him? Is he going to be on TV every week? Like, these are all the kind of the Brock Lesnar questions.
Right.
And Brock Lesnar, by the way, is the champion now on Monday Night Raw, because apparently Brock Lesnar can quit SmackDown and go to Raw because he's chasing Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And now they're going to fight at Survivor Series. And that to me feels like a missed opportunity, even though Rey seems to be as over with the crowd and with the fans as he's been in a long time. But I could think of other opponents for Brock Lesnar, including Bray Wyatt.
Sure.
In doing a champion versus champion. But then you have the same situation as seemingly you had a few weeks ago, where you can't beat Seth Rollins, you can't beat The Fiend, so we have a non-finish.
Right.
And I don't want to see a three-way match, because I feel like Adam Cole, being the NXT champion, would get lost in the equation of these two mammoths, and then you can call, well, Cole's going to need a pinfall from somebody.
Sure.
And you can do more with Adam Cole than have him look totally out of place in a ring with Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt the Fiend.
Right, yeah. And yeah, he would be lost in the shuffle there. Brock Lesnar, though, as far as his next opponent, obviously it is Rey Mysterio, and for the Fiend, his next opponent too. But I'd really like, I know he's on Raw now, but it would have been great, him and Braun Strowman. I thought it would have been a really good run for two mammoth guys right there, and Braun Strowman saying, you know, get these hands and so forth. But maybe that will be the Fiend's first opponent right there. Maybe he'll be the guy to scare this monster in Braun Strowman as he did to Seth Rollins.
But remember, Braun Strowman took on Seth Rollins and was beaten clean in the middle. Three stomps and a pedigree.
Right, right. And
so Braun is very beatable.
And he knows.
And Braun is also a good guy, I think. And Braun just got knocked out by Tyson Fury, who's going to be on SmackDown.
And he knows Bray Wyatt, too. They were in the Wyatts, the family, so they know each other pretty well, so I think that could work overall. But as far as, you know, Bray Wyatt's next opponent, he should be on TV every week. I'm still confused here if that's definitely the long-term plan. It sounds like it is that Brock Lesnar will be on Raw here on out. And that title should be defended every freaking month. Anytime you are the champion, Brock Lesnar as a champion, and if the Fiend is going to be the Universal Champion here on out, that needs to be defended every month at a pay-per-view. And for the Survivor Series right here, what they're saying with, you know, the Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, they have to find something to have a little bit of an incentive for the brand to claim victory. Sure, it's great if Raw gets bragging rights. It's great if SmackDown does. It's even better if NXT does. But give me an incentive or something. I don't know.
Eric Bischoff always talks about what are the stakes.
Yes.
What are the stakes to a match, a championship, a stipulation, whatever. Give me the stakes of
what are the stakes? Nothing. I don't see anything yet. I hope it's announced over the next week, and it has to be something there to parlay this potential war games, maybe.
And so stakes leads me to the next part of our timeline, which is the flight from hell.
Oh God,
the no way out of Saudi Arabia,
right?
And how it forced WWE to fly NXT people in at the last minute to invade a show. And now, by accident, it seems, they've created a longer-term storyline into Survivor Series.
Absolutely.
And so the invasion of SmackDown, I thought, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was new matches, a surprising finish with Tommaso Ciampa beating The Miz, Daniel Bryan losing clean to Adam Cole in an NXT title match.
Good match, too.
It was about as good a SmackDown as there's been in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a long-term story leading into Survivor Series. And the story that WWE is telling you is NXT took advantage of the SmackDown roster being stuck in another country.
Yep.
But what it did was it's a way to feature NXT stars on your two more polished brands, established brands, and the hope is that you're going to get some of that to bleed into Wednesday nights, which is the AEW NXT war, which isn't really a war, but they want you to think that there is one.
Right.
There are certain people who want you to think that, but
right,
it really
right.
isn't.
And I'm so glad that they're doing that, Jimmy, because this is perfect for a fan that does not watch NXT on a weekly basis. You gain a new audience that way to start watching NXT here on out, even after the Survivor Series. So that's huge for them right here. And great way to showcase your talent on the main stage.
So all of this happened because there were mechanical issues, those are my quotation fingers, with the roster trying to get out of Saudi Arabia. Vince got out early, and as Corey Graves noted on his podcast, Vince always leaves early.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't until Vince. So there's this theory out there that Vince left the troops behind, which I thought at first, I'm like, well, I don't think Vince would, but he might.
Right.
If there's really a situation going on.
Right.
And when Corey Graves on his podcast said, yeah, Vince always, as soon as everybody's back, everybody's healthy, he bolts because he's got to get to the next town.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. I'm like, I know this to be true because I've had people on the roster, people who work in production there, mm-hmm. extras. I've had people tell me, yeah, when SmackDown goes off the air, Hunter jumps right in and takes over 205 Live or whoever it is. I just use Hunter as an example.
Yeah.
It could be Shane. It could be somebody else.
Could be Pat Patterson.
I don't think it's Pat Patterson. You've got the right idea.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard. Yeah.
You've got the right idea. No, Bruce is on the plane with Vince.
Oh, he's okay.
Bruce,
Inside.
Bruce.
He's his lieutenant. He's a lieutenant.
Bruce, you have to go through Bruce to get to Vince.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bruce is the person who conveys the direction to the talent. And that's part of the reason why he got the Eric Bischoff SmackDown position, in my opinion.
Right. No, of course.
So the rumors that came out as to why all of this travel happened was because the Prince owed WWE payment for past shows or this show.
Yeah.
The WWE got some type of payment at about $60 million before the show began. And there's the rumor that Vince wouldn't allow the local feed of Crown Jewel, which it was on delay about 40 to 60 minutes because, of course, it was a Richard measuring call.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Contest.
Because
that's kind of, you know, you've got these two billionaires and they have to decide, you know, who's got more power than the other.
Yeah.
I guess Vince had a meeting with the talent on Monday, and this caused the storytelling for Dave Meltzer versus Seth Rollins at Survivor Series is great because now Meltzer and Seth Rollins hate each other because Meltzer apparently misreported that Seth Rollins had a, quote, rah-rah speech. After Vince talked, Seth went to Twitter and said, I didn't talk before, during, or after this meeting, so you're full of it.
Right, right.
And Uncle Dave had to put up a retraction.
Yeah,
Which is interesting to me. But I like the fact that Seth went out there and was like, nope, this didn't happen. This 100% didn't happen.
I think, you know, it's just ironic enough how it all went down. Does the Prince have enough power to do something like that when Vince is pissed at you to do that there with the plane and so forth? So it's just, you know, essentially a battle of the billionaires, if you will. I think it was all an ironic situation because they just re-upped it, sounds like, too, until 2027, right?
Yeah, they added a second show, and they're still working out the details on a TV.
So, I mean, you can't hold a grudge that long if that's the case.
No, because it's money.
It's too much money on the line. Yeah, and that's why they're doing this. So I don't think it was intentional, if you will. The timing of it, not good. Dave Meltzer, again, from what we've heard from all these other podcast that if we listen to, needs to shut his mouth and get his facts straight. But the fact that you have a talent guy PO'd at you now at this point here, you know.
Well, Booker T did a podcast with somebody, and today it was like, nah, we don't buy into Dave Meltzer. So
I do and I don't.
So I think it depends on the situation. But what I would say is, I would bet that Meltzer's source has an agenda against Seth Rollins.
That sounds right. Because, yeah, you essentially are talking bad about Seth Rollins, and
I feel like Seth and Dave have had a thing for a while now.
Right, right. And he's very open about it.
Yeah, I think so,
very
too.
Open about that.
I think so, too.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, this to go down and to potentially hold a grudge for it for a short amount of time and then to get an offer like that through 2027 in a short amount of time, it's not like they waited a full week. This happened within a matter of 48 hours, Jimmy. 48 hours.
Yeah.
There's too much on the table. It was not intentional.
It's fascinating to me that there's more behind-the-scenes drama in WWE than their storylines that they're writing.
Of course, with Saudi Arabia, and people are still not happy with it. Now, I did not watch the pay-per-view. I have not seen it. I read reviews of it. I saw some highlights. But, you know, it seemed like it was okay, nothing special.
It was
special.
Like an show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I liked it, but it wasn't anything that was blow away.
Right.
And we had it on in the studio here, just kind of, you know, one eye on that, you know, producing the show.
It's a good time to have it on. Good time of the day.
Yeah, but Billy Lanny and I talk about it all the time, and, you know.
Right, no, yeah.
Like, the Brock-Cain Velasquez match was an MMA-style fight, except nobody was told that.
Right.
So Billy and I are joking about, like, are you going to do a rope break? Because he's in the ropes. Or, you know, why not just build the cage or the whatever?
Right.
One little thing on Meltzer. Because I've had a few people tell me this, a few people in the industry tell me.
Mm-hmm.
They've told me that Dave Meltzer is on the AEW payroll.
Really?
And it's six figures.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had multiple people.
I have not heard that. I have not heard that.
So he's 100% compromised.
Do we have any idea how long he's been on the payroll?
Supposedly since they opened their doors.
Wow. So it's kind of like a ghost. Hey, Dave, here's some money. Do some reporting.
And to me, it makes sense because he's always doing recaps. He's always promoting AEW.
Right.
And Tony Khan's been a subscriber to The Observer for 20 plus years.
Wow. That makes sense.
So maybe this is why Uncle Dave is trying to burn Seth Rollins down, is because he's compromised.
I see what you did there. Not bad.
No, you know.
Yeah.
It took me a while to write that one out. So, as you can see, so we're doing this in a studio. We're face-to-face this time. Usually I have my notes on a computer screen.
Yeah.
Mike is getting a full, my notes for the show.
It's a chapter book and a half. But it's the first time in a while we've done this face-to-face, too. It's kind of interesting.
It's kind of painful.
Well, yeah, I'd agree. Me, too. I need new eyes. But you know, Joe Murray was supposed to join us, too, so we did tease that. He is not here for unknown reasons, but hope everything's okay with him, too. But as far as Meltzer getting paid for AEW, totally makes sense now that, you know, looking back on that and seeing his reporting, which is a little more one-sided, doing a lot of AEW recaps, a lot of things in their favor, so I could totally see that. And since they opened the doors all around, wow, that's about 6 months in the making here. So, And I wonder how many more times he's going to try to pick a fight with another superstar in WWE. Or just, you know, go after them like you did with Seth Rollins here and just want that banner. But it works in his favor. It's kind of like a troll on Twitter when they piss me off, where they want a response from me, where I'm not going to give it to them half the time. Sometimes I do. But I think that's what he's trying to do here with the WWE superstars. And good for him getting it out of Seth Rollins.
It's called the mute button.
Well, yes. And I know it pissed off some other people, too.
It's called the mute button.
Yes. Or block.
I mute them because I want their follow. So
it's nice.
I mute them. I have like 1,000 people muted. It's a wonderful thing. Speaking of AEW and their payroll, they have a pay-per-view. It's called Full Gear. It's this Saturday night.
You know, I'm bummed I'm going to miss it live. I'm going to miss it live. I got to work.
You better watch it on replay. You have a podcast.
You're darn right. I have a problem with this. $60. And I know the last one was $60 as well.
Oh, I just ordered mine HD for $50.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was $60.
Verizon Fios.
Okay, so
they should be a sponsor.
Let's make it happen. I don't know if that's... I think that's a little too high.
Really?
Yes. It should be down to... For a new company, for people that are trying... Not, you know, they've made it very clear they're not there to take down WWE right away. But I think you should be a little more ballpark friendly for about $30.
Okay.
You know?
So they have to make a profit.
I get it. They're not every month.
And they have to pay the pay-per-view company
so
much money. So I think I used to know this. I'm not even going to speculate on it. But the pay-per-view company has to get something, and you have to make a little bit of a profit off it.
No, you have to, yeah. I get it.
So the Bleacher Report one should probably... The internet-based one, like Fight TV, I think is 40.
Okay.
I think Bleacher Report is 40.
Yeah,
I know my pay-per-view is 50. Comcast might be 60.
I could have swore it was 60.
Okay.
Could have swore. I think it's a little high still. I mean, you know, you're not even in business a full year. It's not essentially your WrestleMania, if you will, right? They're not building it as that. I think it should, for the modern fan, for the regular fan, it should be at least the 30 to 40 at the most range.
So is this because...
Or cut a deal.
Is this because the WWE Network is $10 a month and you've become used to, you know, Netflix is 12, WWE Network is 10?
That's part of it. That's a big part of it. But I think also because you're so new, you want to keep getting everyone here. And I get it, though. You're not every month in a pay-per-view. I understand that. But it should be, I think it should be a little lower for the modern fan.
So do you think that, wow, this is way off of
no,
where I
but it's,
we were going.
It's, I just had to get that off my chest.
No, it's okay.
It frustrated me a little hearing that.
So do you think that for your $10 a month for WWE Network, you're getting excellent value?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's going to go up, though.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be tiered.
It's tiered eventually.
And that's
probably
fine.
By the end of the year.
So do you think that for your $60, you've watched all the, have you watched all the AEW pay-per-views?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say that you've gotten excellent value for that? I shouldn't say that. Would you say that they're excellent shows?
Good shows.
Good shows. Okay.
Yeah.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
So that's why you're that's why you balk at the $60 number, because you think that they've been good shows, not excellent
and
shows.
It's so hard because that Double or Nothing was, that might be the pay-per-view of the year. It might be. Fighter Fest is okay,
but that was free.
It was, you're right. And then,
and
the
then
one,
All Out,
All Out was as well. No, All Out was not. All Out was
All Out was 50 or 60,
right? But
I don't know, I was there.
Yeah, right. But the one after Fighter Fest, the one like 2 weeks after, was also free.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. I just think when you are, again, I'll go back to my point here, a new kid on the block trying to, you know, put yourself out there, and you have a weekly television show, which has actually been very successful, I think you should really, you know, buckle down a bit for the casual fan. And I think that you have to look at your audience there for what you're getting on a weekly basis. Is this audience going to pay $60 on a Saturday night? Are they going to do that?
So
they could have $60 to go out on a date. They could go to a movie or something with their kids or family. I don't know. There's so many things. They could go to a hockey or basketball game with that. It's an investment.
Do you think that AEW, where's a, okay, give me a grade for AEW so far.
B+.
B+.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why it's not an A. They don't have the strong women's division as the WWE. They're still missing another big star or two. They're still missing one or two. And I think that, see, you have Jon Moxley. They got to get him full-time. Like, he's kind
of full-time.
No, but I mean, use him more. It's like, I know they're letting him
he
go
had
to,
a time limit draw last week.
I know, but they're making, you know, he can still
he
go to
he did a thing with Kenny Omega. They spiked him through a glass table.
Get him more.
He had a match with Sean Spears that we were at.
Get him on the main event, you know, at that top tier. I want him.
He's in the main event on Saturday.
I want him as the champion.
Non-sanctioned.
I want him going for the championship. I want him as the face, to be the face of AEW.
Main event, AEW, Saturday night.
Who's he fighting? Who's the champion?
Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley.
Who was the champion?
Chris Jericho.
I want him going for the championship.
Okay, they got to get there.
That's what I want. I know, but I want that. I think they need that impact, like, right now. They need that. So obviously, you're getting Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho. That's great. You got a non-sanctioned match. But I think now that you're on television, you have two former WWE guys right there. One that's a future Hall of Famer in the company, Chris Jericho. have him go up against the John Moxley character here, I think that would be perfect. Not saying that there it's not a good card here, but that's where they have to capitalize on the character of John Moxley. Put him in that championship category right now. Don't waste time. Do it now.
So if they put John Moxley in the next championship fight, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm still okay with it.
But you wanted him in this championship
yes.
fight. Okay, so you're going to put AEW, you're going to put two most recent WWE stars mm-hmm. in a main event.
So what?
Because at least there's a gap between Jericho and Cody of a few years.
Right.
And I'm
okay with Cody there, too.
I couldn't tell you the last time I remember Jericho and Cody in a WWF ring.
I don't think it ever happened.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Because it just... Everybody fights so much, yeah. But I can't remember it.
Are you okay with Jericho and Cody in the championship?
Yeah.
I am too. I really am
because,
too.
Because but, on my list of stars, mm-hmm. Jericho is the singular number one star.
Yep.
He should be the champion.
And that's fine. I think that's great.
And then there's a lot of everything else.
So that's
everybody
why,
else.
That's why I'm giving them a B plus right now. And they're still, like I said, the women's. They're missing out on that right now. They got to build that up, which is fine. They will. And also, they still need one or two more stars in that category of Jericho, Moxley, Omega, Cody. They need one or two more to be in there.
And you and I disagree on this.
Yeah.
I think you think that AEW is more about Cody than it is Jericho.
Well,
because we've
the
discussed
face of it.
This.
Yeah.
You think that Cody's the face of it.
Yes.
I think Jericho's the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jericho is because... He's the more well-known name.
Yeah, but...
Right?
But
and then after that, I think it's Cody and Moxley.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's Omega and the Young Bucks.
So before Jericho won the championship, before, I think Cody was the face of it. And I still think he is. But with Jericho as your inaugural champion, which they had to do. They had to put that title around him as the inaugural champion.
There's some disagreement on that, by
no,
the way.
No, I think that was the... best decision they could have done right there in AEW, or they really could have gone outside the box. I would have been fine with as well with John Moxley as your inaugural one. I think that would have
he
been
wasn't
fine
on the roster yet.
Okay,
because they had to wait him out and da da da.
But still, that could have been another thing right there. Jericho as your inaugural champion, Cody. I still believe he is the face of AEW, and I think a lot of people think that too.
A little piece of dirt?
Go ahead.
There's some issues between Cody and Jericho.
Hmm.
And it kind of relates to the vice president wanting to do one thing with the AEW championship and Tony Khan saying no to it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My understanding and my belief is the vice president wanted, and the vice presidents being Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks,
yep.
and the fourth and fifth being Cody and Brandi Rhodes. They wanted to make Adam Page the champion.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan stepped in and said no.
Good for Tony.
Because Tony Khan is a Jericho guy,
yeah.
above all, and this has apparently there's some friction there.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tony Khan who stepped in and made the call for Jericho to be the first AEW champion, which I agree with. It's the right call.
You have
it makes
to.
The most sense.
You have to,
and it makes something that happened to me in Chicago make a lot more sense.
Okay,
I was sitting behind Adam Page's family.
All right.
And there were people, and I was sitting in the friends and family section of AEW.
Yep.
And people were walking by saying, hey, I can't wait. And I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
Hey, can't wait to celebrate Adam's championship victory.
Yeah.
And then he didn't win.
Right.
And the family of Adam Page were like so broken up. Like they were distraught.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like... It's just a wrestling match.
Right, right.
I know it's important because you want your...
Inaugural, great opportunity.
Yeah. Like, Britt Baker was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, sitting front row when Adam Cole won the NXT championship because they're an item.
Right.
And she was going nuts for every near fall. So I understand you get caught up in the emotion.
There's an investment.
Of it, but they seemed like really over... Like they got swerved or something.
That's interesting. Hmm.
So
it
might have been a last-minute decision to change
the last
direction
audible.
From what...
Hmm.
Well, they were told.
Good for Tony Khan there, Jimmy. Good
oh,
for
I
him.
Agree.
Yeah, yeah. He that had to be because listen, Adam Page, he's still got a great future ahead of him. He's a
we
young.
We think.
Yeah, but he's
we think because he's a fabulous in-ring talent.
But he's got
But this cowboy thing,
yeah.
which is who he is,
right.
we'll see if that translates to a bigger audience.
Right.
And I have my doubts about it.
And I, from what I've heard, too, there might be a little attitude behind the scenes with him a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's, you know, you better clean it up.
But so, to your point,
yeah.
I've been told recently by a bunch of people that there's a lot more attitude in that AEW room than is coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's some friction there.
Mm.
Amongst a lot of the group.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like too many presidents, it seems like. Too much power there.
There are five of them, and Tony Khan has the final decision over all five of them.
Right, right. So, yeah, the egos definitely make it happen there. But Jericho, champion, great. Best move they could have done to have him as your inaugural AEW champion. By the way, that title is awesome. I love
that. Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it great?
When they start making the real ones, like, I want to get my hands on one of those.
Nice. Yeah. I love the tag team titles, too. They debuted.
They're nice. But Jericho's belt is so much nicer.
It's fantastic.
You know, maybe I'll get to an Outback and, you know, sneak that out the door. So this pay-per-view.
Yes. Yep. I've still got the card right now.
Yes. Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega, non-sanctioned. That match, my understanding, that's going on last. We'll see if that actually holds true because it's non-sanctioned.
Hmm.
It's lights out. If you're asking me to pick a winner...
Hmm.
I'd like to pick Kenny Omega because I feel like he needs to win a big match, but I think Jon Moxley is going to win this. It's a match that's really designed for Jon Moxley to excel in.
Yeah.
And even though we saw one over at Boston University between Kenny Omega and Joey Janela, which was
great
top notch,
yep.
fabulous stuff, Moxley should win this. He's AEW's Terry Funk, Cactus Jack. That's his style. He shouldn't be losing this type of match.
No.
But I still think that Jericho ultimately loses the title to Kenny Omega. And they have to be really careful with Kenny Omega because he loses too many of these big matches. And maybe it doesn't matter to him because he's a vice president.
Right.
But
with this record,
you still have to, if wins and losses matter, you have to do a lot of work to build him back up. I think.
So here's the thing.
To the common fan, where when he beats Jericho, if he beats Jericho,
right.
people are like, oh, wow, that's a star.
And this is a way for AEW, I think what will happen here, you're going to see Jericho retain. He brings the title. He'll hold on to the title right up until New Year's Day when AEW is in Jacksonville right there. A great way for AEW to make a splash right there in their home city. And then on New Year's Day, that's awesome. So I think you'll see a rematch right there. Omega beats Jericho New Year's Day.
Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Jericho defends the AEW Championship against Cody.
Yes.
Jericho wins here.
Yep.
I shouldn't say wins. He's walking out with the title.
Yeah.
And they announced...
And the Inner Circle have something to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's somehow that... Cody loses, but he doesn't lose, or there's a way out of it.
And by the way, Jimmy, this Inner Circle, I love what they're doing.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Front row, last week there in the Dynamite with the clown mask on. It's so like, it's like a
it's
blast
simple.
Of the past NWO.
It's
yes,
simple.
It's perfect.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
That's why AEW is connecting.
Yes.
Even though their ratings are kind of what they are.
Yeah, but...
But their story week to week, I feel like, is simple, understandable. The brawl that the Inner Circle had with Cody and Dustin and MJF and DDP.
Right.
They went right at it. Concession stands. And they had security, but they got in the middle of the fans as opposed to WWE.
Right.
Which... It's all blocked off,
right.
and it's a merchandise table that's fake.
Right.
Like, don't throw them into the dots.
Right.
No, not that.
Right, right, right. And then Dustin Rhodes getting the, you know, hit with the limo door and all that. That was great.
There's more reality to what AEW is doing.
So
WWE
much more.
Is just overproduced right now,
exactly.
and that's how they run.
Yeah, it's a Hollywood production.
GD Pal, it's gotta look good. The interesting thing that I take out of this was. AEW sent out a press release saying that if there's a 60-minute time limit draw, it's going to go to three judges.
Hmm.
I want to know who the judges are.
Yeah.
And here's why. There might be an angle that comes out of who the judges are.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think of Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, 1989, Music City Showdown, Flair recaptures the NWA championship from Ricky Steamboat.
Uh-huh.
And the judges at ringside, I couldn't tell you who the other two were,
yep.
but one of them was Terry Funk.
Mm.
And Terry Funk got into the ring and challenged Ric Flair for the NWA championship. And Ric Flair said, "Nope, Terry, you're too old." I don't think he called him too old, but he basically said Terry wasn't a contender. And Terry Funk said, "Oh, I was just kidding when I was going to challenge you. I'm not in your class." And they shook hands, and Funk belted him. And then Terry Funk beat him up, spiked him through a table, and the table didn't break like we're so used to WWE tables breaking.
Yeah,
it just 100%. Collapsed.
Right.
And it really looked like it hurt Terry Funk more than Ric Flair.
Right.
But it put Ric Flair out of action mm-hmm. from May to whenever the Great American Bash was that year.
Yep.
And we got 8 months. Maybe not 8 months, maybe 6 months of excellent storytelling between Ric Flair and Terry Funk.
Yeah.
And it was something that started a great feud. So maybe if they can keep Jack Swagger a secret for signing,
yes.
maybe they've got somebody else in mind.
Yeah. And by the way, the other two judges in that match, Lou Fez and Pat O'Connor.
Okay.
So there you go. And that happened in May of 1989.
The Terry Funk Ric Flair story went from May. Until December,
right.
where that great Clash of Champions I Quit match, which I've referenced before,
yes.
Happened. Fabulous. That match holds up. And that story, that feud, holds up today.
It was a good one.
Except for Terry Funk putting a plastic bag over Ric Flair at Clash of Champions.
Yeah. I think that...
Great.
No, I know. I mean, that would be... Can you imagine Jack Swagger as one of the... Or whatever the heck his name is. Swag?
We the People.
We the People, yeah.
We remember him as Jack Swagger. In the same way,
a great theme song too,
that
by the way.
We still remember Pac as Neville in WWE.
Oh, of course.
And he's fighting Adam Page.
Yeah.
These are two of the premier in-ring wrestlers in the world.
Right.
And my kind of guess is that if Pac wins,
mm-hmm.
he's Jericho's next challenger because they have protected Pac as well as any other performer. He beat Kenny Omega at the last pay-per-view,
yeah.
which still blows my mind
because
I still look at him as Neville.
Yeah, it's not even, I know for the, you know, the Dean Ambrose and even looking at Dustin Rhodes, it's like that's gold dust. So it's very weird to have that, even like we just said with Jack Swagger too. So it's going to take time. I could see that him going for the title after that because it looks like they have made him pay the dues and now he's ready to go that next tier. So I wouldn't go against that. Would I want to see it? No.
Pac versus Jericho is a TV main event. It's not a pay-per-view.
Not a pay-per-view. Yes.
At least I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good
but
one for Dynamite.
It's a unique match.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a unique match, which I like.
Yeah, it's good for television, pay-per-view, and I'll take a hard pass.
But I think Pac wins this one, and he's going to fight Jericho at some
point. We'll see.
The fourth match that I'm interested in is the Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz,
mm-hmm.
the artist formerly known in Impact as LAX. This will probably be your match of the night,
mm-hmm.
depending on how many bells and whistles Cody and Jericho can pull out.
Yep.
But I think the Bucks need a win here, and they should have been the first tag team champions.
Well, I think
they should have been the first AEW tag team champions.
Yeah.
And I think it's a similar case to Kenny Omega, where they have the title as vice presidents,
right.
and they're like, we'll get our stuff when we need to.
Right.
I think they should have established themselves as the premier talent, and the backlash from the internet for putting themselves over, all that should be damned.
Well, yeah, they're spreading the wealth, and to their credit, they're okay with that. I think that's great. That was a shock when they lost to...
They lost in Boston to Private Party.
Private Party, which was a great match. Awesome match. Great way to open the show. I think that set the tone right there. And sure, yeah, they definitely were the heavy favorite to have won the titles for the first time. So that was a real surprise there. But yes, they do need to win this one in order to get back into that picture. I'm going to say that they're going to continue to be generous, and you're going to see Santana in Ortiz win, though.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull
but
this
one. But the Bucks
off.
Need wins here, and they need premier wins because they lost to the Lucha Brothers on the last show, and that was for the AAA. It's not the AAA. Maybe it was the AAA. The Mexican tag team titles that were brought into AEW.
So I think that you're going to see Santana and Ortiz win that. And then after this show, they go on a good run here and go for the titles here on out. So,
was there anything else from AEW that jumped out at you?
For the card this weekend,
yeah.
Nothing really.
I mean, in general from their TV?
I mean, the Inner Circle, like I said, a huge fan of this. I think it's great what they're doing. Like you said, it's simple. It works. It's a merchandise selling point, too.
Yeah.
Inner Circle? Like, how awesome is that? Jericho, watching him on television the last few weeks, looks more comfortable than ever before. He really does. It's just he's being himself, Jimmy, which is great.
Yeah.
And I like how... you know, they implemented Tony Schiavone in with the Cody Rhodes, the family thing and so forth. I could totally see down the line Cody turning on Schiavone. I could totally see that at some point. Kind of like an Austin JR sort of deal.
Now, the turn for Cody is on MJF.
Okay, I could see that.
That's
too.
An opinion. I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, that's
but
fair.
But everybody's anticipating MJF turning on Cody.
Yeah.
Cody's going to... swerve
turn
on MJF.
MJF.
That's
yeah.
what I think.
Okay. And then what about Dustin? Dustin Rhodes, his brother.
I mean, he could turn on that, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was a heck of a match at Double or Nothing,
yep.
So it could happen again.
That's arguably a match of the year.
Without question. And I cannot wait for our year-end show. That is right in my category on that one. So,
you love these award shows.
Oh, they're so fun. They're just... they're a blast. It's so much fun looking back on it. But from what we've seen, it's just so much more natural now with Jericho. And everybody else would be so comfortable here. So I'm looking forward to the show. I know a couple of people that are going down to Baltimore for it. They're very excited. I think it's a if you're in that area, if you have a chance to go, go. Don't sleep on this one. Go to StarCast.
Go to StarCast. 100% go to StarCast.
Sting, Jimmy. He's going to be in the Great American Bash uniform he wore when he beat Ric Flair, and that title is going to be there, too.
Conrad did an interview today on Busted Open Radio, and he said that it was harder to convince Sting to do the red, white, and blue gear than it was to get CM Punk to do StarCast in Chicago.
Wow. Wow.
So Sting likes the... This is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get...
If I could have gone, I would have. I can't swing it, though. But
yeah, I was invited down. My wrestling traveling is...
done till 2019?
Done for a while.
Or 2020, rather.
Yeah. Done for a while.
Okay.
I'm not going to Tampa. You can stop with that.
Well, but you know what I mean, though. I mean, there's more coming in 2020.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but
I got you.
It won't be Tampa.
Okay, fair enough. All right. But yes, I think it's going to be a good show there. And you know, I was at, you know, you and I were at the Mick Foley show at the Kowloon this past weekend. I was also at Jake the Snake Roberts this past week, too. A lot of people very excited about AEW. Very, very excited.
Because it's new, it's fresh, and it's more reality-based.
Yes,
and it's less produced.
Yep.
And
shout out to Matt, Mike, Anthony, Ruben, and the dude at Jake the Snake.
What's the
Big
dude?
Fans. That's a guy's name. It's an uncle. They call him Dude.
Okay. This
but
isn't like
guy.
Dude and Bird?
No. Okay. I asked him that. I'm like, are you the guy? And he goes, huh? And I'm like, yeah, forget it. Never mind. It's not him. But good people.
So we both went
Big
to
fans.
The Mick show.
Yes.
We enjoyed it.
Awesome.
It's Mick telling stories.
It's great.
Mick's great.
It's freaking
we
man.
Talked to him before.
Freaking dude.
I was happy to be part of the finish of the show. I was the planted question.
You had a good question.
Which was awesome.
And Mick did say, Jimmy put his hand up and he goes, pointed at Jimmy, you're going to be last.
Well, so when he, a little inside baseball, when he asked Phil Castagnetti of Sports World what the time was.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil gave it to him, and Mick goes, there's about 10 minutes left or so. I'm like, okay, I'll, because that's the go-home cue.
Right, right.
It wasn't talked about. It was kind of called on the fly.
No, and I saw him say to you in the back room. That was cool. Yeah, that was nice.
And then he couldn't have been nicer after the show.
It's a good dude. Good guy.
Talk for a little bit.
And he's
doing some good stuff for ODB's food truck.
Great stuff.
As well.
Yep.
Which I tried. I sampled in Chicago and was excellent.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Very
it's just,
nice.
It's a standard food truck.
Yeah,
it's not the Beyond Wrestling
but that's still cool, though.
Food truck. But,
yeah, but you're helping a good
that's
cause.
That's Champ Melt. I think we've gotten all of our plugs. Here, talk about Jake, and then we've gotten all of our plugs until.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Long story short, Jake was a great show. And it's rated R material. Really, really good. And definitely enjoyed it at the Riverwalk Brewing Company up there in Newburyport. Good people. Shout out to Ben. Great hospitality. Hope Jake comes around here again. Really do. I think it'd be a sellout anywhere he performs. So
did he answer questions with good answers instead of like this vague, I'm going to tell you
right.
the story at the show.
He teased it like hell on the interview here on this podcast, as you know. He did give some good insight. He's not a fan of Ric Flair. He does not like him. He was very close with Rick Rude.
Rick Rude, yep.
Yeah, best friends, him and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Yep. They're still very tight. But he talked about his experience with the Macho Man, too, how the Macho Man was a nervous wreck about having the snake being bit, and he made Jake test being bit by the snake before Macho Man did. So he was a nervous guy in general, not a fan of the Ultimate Warrior, too, furious at the Ultimate Warrior after SummerSlam 91, because that's when he held Vince hostage in Madison Square Garden for the $1 million cash. Jake was supposed to go on a championship run against the Ultimate Warrior for a good 4 to 5 months. He said that Warrior cost him easy $4 to $5 million. So, not a fan of him, but they did make up at the Hall of Fame when they both were inducted the same class. But very good show. Definitely recommended. Jake the Snake Roberts.
I had some Ring of Honor stuff, but I'll save that for another time. There's a thing with Joey Mercury who just kind of needs some... He needs some guidance.
Uh-huh.
He got let go by Ring of Honor because he was acting stupid. And there may be a substance issue there.
Oh, boy.
So he needs some help. He had some Twitter stuff where he was trying to expose the business. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are some questions that I have relating to why he's exposing Kelly Klein's salary.
Yeah, what the hell?
And what is kind of left out of that is a question that I have, and mm-hmm. that is, Kelly Klein, I think, is a part-time employee to Ring of Honor.
Oh.
So if she's making $24,000 a year and she's not working all the shows, that's somewhere between $500 and $1,000 an appearance. So $24,000 for a part-time job, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Take that in a heartbeat, yeah.
You know, because I think she's a full-time school teacher.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah, but that's pretty darn good.
You know, and you know, yeah. they're complaining about salaries.
Right.
Well, be a full-time performer then. I know a few full-time performers there.
Yep.
They make pretty good money. You know, part-time performer makes $500 to $1,000 a week. I think that's pretty good.
The real champion, too. The real champion of Ring of Honor. He does okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are other people, not just him.
I know.
Not
I'm just
Matt Taven, but Lethal does well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are making real livings at Ring of Honor.
Right.
So maybe... that's what you should go for.
Sure.
Unless you want to be a school teacher.
Right.
And you want to be part-time. $24,000 a year for making 20 to 30 dates a year.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's not Brock Lesnar money,
but
still.
You can ask for a raise.
Right.
But understand that some part-timers don't get raises because they're not always available. Or maybe they're not drawing.
Well, yes.
And by the way, I like Kelly Klein. I've socialized with her
mm-hmm.
in person. Seems like a nice gal.
Mm-hmm.
But there are better ways to go about things than letting somebody else complain about your contract and then backing it up after the fact.
And I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I would imagine that there are maybe... three quarters, I don't know, a lot of people are hardcore fans that listen to this, half of the show who's never heard of Kelly Klein.
So yeah, that's a thing.
I'm just saying.
That's a thing.
Just saying. So, you know, get your, or there's something called Earn Your Stripes, you know? Good stuff, James.
Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter. I am James Stewart. And we will talk to you at some point soon. Hopefully there won't be a 15-day gap between podcasts, but hey, you never know.
Looking for hope?
House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.